Okay, folks, it looks like we have a quorum, so if we'll get settled in and we'll get started in just 1 minute. Okay, Lynn, I think we'll call the meeting to order. If you could do the roll call.
Yes. Just real quickly, I wanted to state that the Wi-Fi information, the network is LVMWDGuest. Password is save water, one word, capital S, capital W. We also have it. Yeah, the red light is on. Red light is on. I'm trying to show you, but I can't. Just like really close. Okay. We also have the Wi-Fi written at the table by the front door if you need it. This meeting is in a hybrid format in which members in the public are participating both remotely and in person. You will need to be in person or on Zoom to make public comment. If you're in person, please fill out a speaker card. We have them through the front doors and hand them to myself or Luke. If you're participating via Zoom, you can raise your hand when we reach the item you'd like to speak. If you're dialing in over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. And that concludes logistics. I recommend we move to roll call.
Kay. Please do.
So I will be calling members in alphabetical order by last name. Oops, Sabrina Ashton.
Present.
Jonathan Bishop.
Here.
Cody Bridges.
Here.
Jacob Berman.
Present on behalf of LA City Councilwoman Tracy Park.
Andy Corradecci.
Here.
Laura Doss Hertz.
Present.
Tom Ford.
Present.
Dean Francois.
Dean Francois here on behalf of the South Bay COG.
Gloria Gray.
Here.
Thank you. Tracy Lavrick.
Present.
Annalisa Moe.
Here.
Dan Murphy.
Present.
Jenny Newman.
Here.
Christina Oh.
Here.
Warren Ontiveros.
Present.
Aaron Ordower.
Present.
Genevieve Osmena.
Present.
Michelle Persoff.
Here on behalf of Assemblymember Isaac Bryan.
Lauren Pizer Mains. Bruce Resnick.
Here.
Rory Skay. Martha Tremblay.
Present.
Steve Ehring.
Here.
Laurel Wardrip.
Here.
Aaron Wilson Olgan.
Here.
Erica Yelensky.
Good morning. Here.
And we also have Karen Mogus joining us as an alternate to Jonathan Bishop.
I'm here.
Thank you. That'll conclude roll call unless I missed anyone. Okay, thank you. I recommend we move to item one for public comment.
Thank you very much. I know that we have a lot of folks for public comment. So we are going to do our normal of 4 minutes for every total across the items. If someone has already made the points you've made, be much appreciated to just refer to that so that we can get through here from everyone. Caitlin, do we have folks for just general public comment?
Yes, we had five people request to speak under item one.
Okay, so let's call those folks up.
Okay, so the first to speak is Alina Rotzi. You should now be able to unmute yourself.
listeners. My name is Alina Rossi, and I am a UCLA student and a college intern at the Biona Wetlands Land Trust. I'm calling in today to urge you to reaffirm your commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, and to prioritize addressing climate change, especially in light of shifting priorities at the federal level. These are not just abstract ideals. They are essential values that ensure equitable access to a healthy environment and a sustainable future for all communities, particularly those disproportionately impacted by climate change and environmental injustice. It is deeply concerning to see that the DEI page on the Bay Foundation's website, which once highlighted these commitments, has been removed. Additionally, the 2026 work plan draft has crossed out mentions of climate change, and these actions suggest a troubling shift away from principles that should be non-negotiable. Climate change and equity are undeniably linked because climate change is equity. To remove these values from your plans without public discussion undermines public trust and transparency. We can't really afford to consider leaving climate change out, even if it's just a work plan or just the draft of the work plan. The urgency of the climate change crisis demands that we act now, not later. So I urge you all to stand firm in your commitment to DEI and climate action and to ensure these priorities remain central to your mission. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you, Alina. The next request we had is from Gabrielle Crow, who could not join us in person, so she provided written comments. So I will read those subject to the 4 minutes, and the next person to speak will be Walter Lamb. And apologies if I mispronounce anything. Mi yiha, hello. My name is Gabrielle Crow. I am the co-chair, as well as the Secretary of Environmental Sciences, with a focus on marine biology for the Gabrielino Shoshone Nation of Southern California. My comment is in response to the new U.S. administration and SMBRC's, as well as the Bay Foundation's response to climate change and environmental justice programs. As a tribal leader with ancestral ties to Los Angeles, I understand how important it is to continue fighting for these programs to not only exist, but to thrive under the current circumstances. Due to colonization, my people were systematically removed from our coastlines and have just recently been able to return to these spaces as knowledge bearers, partnering with environmental organizations to give voices to our flora and fauna relatives. What tribes and the public need now more than ever is more access and stewardship opportunities on our coastlines and our coastal wetlands, including the Bayona wetlands. More funding opportunities need to be sought out to protect these very important programs to provide for better coastal ecosystems for the next 7 generations. Thank you for your time and consideration. So that concludes Gabrielle Crow's comment. Next speaker we have is Walter Lamb, followed by Patricia McPherson. Walter, I know you have slides you'd like us to share. So just give me 1 second to get your slides up, and we'll track your 4 minutes separately. Walter, you should now be able to speak.
Walter Lamb, representing the Biona Wetlands Land Trust, and we are certainly living in very challenging times right now, and there are no perfect answers as to how to navigate the new federal administration's assault on science and diversity. But the wholesale erasure of core principles to preserve funding is a dangerous approach. This issue should have been immediately escalated, an issue of this magnitude, to the governing board for transparent discussion earlier in the process. Instead, it looks like the Bay Foundation determined on its own to start erasing language and even whole website pages in a rush to align itself with the new federal administration. And it has no authority to make substantive NEP policy changes without approval by or even consultation with this governing board, which serves as the policy committee of the NEP Management Conference. At the most basic level, we need a thorough and independent legal analysis from the commission's state attorneys to determine what power these executive orders actually have to override the intent of Congress in the Clean Water Act to promote local NEP decision-making. In the meantime, the climate change page on your SMB NEP website and any other policy-oriented language on that website should be restored pending governing board deliberation. These changes send a terrible message to the public regarding the sincerity of your commitment to science and environmental justice. One of the executive orders that the Bay Foundation is normalizing with its acquiescence described diversity efforts as immoral, shameful, discriminatory, and illegal. I don't think that's the position of this body. Unless the governing board steps in quickly to discuss and address this situation, the credibility of the NEP will be irreparably damaged. Any claim to being a science-based organization will be shattered because you will have openly prioritized revenue over what you know to be scientific facts about climate change. Aligning the NEP with the Trump administration would also put the NEP at direct odds with the state, which would create its own problems with funding and interagency cooperation. The State Coastal Conservancy just a week ago affirmed its commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's also short-sighted to think that this is as far as the administration will try to push the NEP away from sound science. Every well-established principle of environmental conservation will be vulnerable to the same financial quid pro quo that the Bay Foundation is normalizing with these concessions. Next slide, please. We also need to understand how other NEPs across the nation are dealing with this. As of today, the San Francisco Estuary Partnership still has its commitment to equity on its website. So we need to understand how different NEPs are reacting to this and what the different options are for this NEP to try to preserve funding without compromising the mission. Thank you very much. I'll save my time for the other item, Caitlin. Thank you.
Thank you. It looks like you have a minute and 6 seconds left. The next speaker we have is Patricia McPherson. Patricia, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Hi, it's Patricia McPherson. I'd forgotten about your rule of cumulative minutes, so I'll save my time for the item on Biona's resolution. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Patricia. The next request we have is for Gary Burns. Gary, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
I am. I'm a director at the Las Virgenes District, and I just wanted to add my support for all of you who are doing what I consider to be an excellent job at trying to maintain the status as best as we can. And I'll hold my time if there's another item. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary, for your comments. And then that is everyone who requested to speak in advance, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Thank you. Staff did not propose any change in the order of the agenda. Are there any requests for change from commission members? Seeing none, we will move on to report from the chair, and that would be me. At the January 16th executive committee meeting, members received updates on the commission staff's work. Approved the revised executive committee calendar, discussed the timeline for an update of the comprehensive conservation and management plan, and established the agenda for this meeting. If members have questions on the PRA request, we should be reserved for item 4C6 on the work plan, and Eric will be able to provide some input at that point. Any questions for the chair?
That was agenda item 4B, just to clarify.
I just couldn't read it.
Yeah.
So, thank you. And moving on, it looks like we do not have a report from the TAC today. And I'll ask Tom to give a report on the NEP activities.
Thank you, Jonathan. Just a few updates since we last met as a group in December. We've successfully supported a deployment of acoustic Doppler current profilers to help get a better handle on the physical nearshore environment neighboring the Santa Monica Pier and the Santa Monica Pier breakwater. Hopefully some of that data may help us understand how water is moving Maybe being retained near the pier might help complement longstanding efforts to protect public health there and advance any types of planning that we might put in place to try to abet an improvement of water quality from not the the watershed side, but from the bay side itself. I'm happy to speak with anyone about acoustic Doppler current profilers. It's a pretty cool instrumentation. Other instruments that we've been involved with and deployment is with a group based out of Georgia Tech. Oftentimes, and folks in this industry know it, lots of sensors that we use to deploy to monitor the environment when we're not there or when it would just be difficult or near impossible to have a team sitting there camped out for days, months, or years on end. But often you have to wait until you have to go collect that sensor wherever to find out what data it collected. Trying to close that loop and get the data off of the sensor and to the computer sooner rather than later is a big goal of ours and many others. So we're working with this group to figure out if we can have sensors on the ocean floor, have a buoy on the surface, use that cellular or satellite connectivity to then get the data off of that sensor in near real time. Has many, many applications. Right now we're using it focused around oceanographic parameters like temperature, conductivity, salinity, dissolved oxygen as it relates to our work with the endangered abalone that we're out planting. Love to see to make sure that the environment's supporting them successfully. No real abalone updates over this period of time, but we're gearing up for our outplant later this spring. Certainly, this community has endured a tremendous amount of loss related to the fires. This has also resulted in an inability to access many areas of our coastline. We've been working where we can, when we can, to get to the beaches, continue to engage the community to advance conservation work there. Nice part is we've been able to get out there. If you haven't been to Santa Monica recently, the San Verbena is doing great this year, and I'll share some updates from last year with you later in my reports. We're also making progress on the beach visitorship cell phone data study that you may remember. So hopefully by this summer, we'll have the final results of understanding how and where people are coming from to the beach, how long they're staying there based upon their cell phone data. So we're excited to see those connections elucidated so we understand who we're serving better. And also gearing up right now for another summer's worth of work and then starting to itemize how we're going to continue to conduct this environmental monitoring throughout the year to come. We'll be focusing on mussels and their response to environmental stressors such as salinity and temperature. We'll also be looking to process their tissues to see what types of contaminants they may have in them in the way of metals specifically. So we're excited that those conversations are moving forward. By the time we're back here in April, I have more to share. We'll also start using monitoring the beaches and looking at how the plants are growing and looking how the beach is behaving to further our understanding and improve our ability writ large to continue to enhance those beaches. And we've got a novel study where we're trying to see if there's a difference between how much aroma a given plant produces as to how many or the diversity of pollinators it attracts. So very excited to see if we've got some super smelly flowers out there that do more than the less smelly flowers. I'm sure the PhD that wrote that up would have said it differently. But that's a quick update of where we've been the last few months.
Thank you, Tom. Move on to item 2E, which is a report from members on implementation of the CCMP. Are there any reports from members? Seeing none, we will move on to...
Chair?
Yes.
Actually, I just want to provide a brief report. This is our first governing board meeting since the Palisades fires. As many of you all know, they greatly affected the Pacific Palisades community, which Councilwoman Tracy Park represents. It has been a significant concern for the councilwoman, as I'm sure for everyone in this room, about the impacts those fires have had on our residents, on our businesses, and of course on our environment. And it is something that I hope that we as a board can continue to monitor and see if there's any advice we can have. The councilwoman has expressed a lot of concern about the placement of hazardous materials staging sites near our environmentally sensitive coastline and watersheds. It's something that she's going to continue to be advocating for transparency with EPA and other relevant partners. And we are very thankful for our partnership in that effort with a number of other folks in the room here today. I just want to highlight that that is something that has happened since our last meeting. It does have environmental impacts, and I hope that we will have some time to be able to explore how we can mitigate further risk to our environmentally sensitive Santa Monica Bay. Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Jacob. In that vein, I just wanted to also acknowledge the pain of all communities that are impacted by the wildfires in January. And on behalf of the supervisor, how the commitment to managing the most ambitious, largest cleanup of debris from a wildfire probably in American history that's taking place here in partnership with several of the folks here on the call. And, you know, gratitude to the USEPA and our other partners for being part of that, and sort of also affirming how important it is that we work together to protect our natural environment and achieve this cleanup in a way that gets people back home as fast as possible, but also is very is done in a thoughtful and complete way to protect the work that we all do here. Which is what is happening. And I just want to offer up that there's a lot of information that's out there about what may or may not be happening. There's been plenty of misinformation about some of the practices. And I just want to invite folks that are interested in getting updates. There's at least a daily email that goes out from Supervisor Horvath that you can sign up for that newsletter at lindsayhorvath.lacounty.gov. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi. On behalf of Senator Allen, I want to let the board know and the public know he is following the meeting as best he can today. He was on earlier. He is currently, the reason he is not here is he's currently with the Senate Pro Tem, who flew down for probably his sixth visit to the area since the fires, and they are, you know, focused on some of the fire relief there.
Thank you. Any other comments from commissioners? Okay, we will move on to consider approval of the December 12th, 2024 meeting minutes. Are there any changes by commissioners? Seeing none,
my hand is up.
Dean's hand is raised, yeah.
Oh, sorry, didn't see that.
Well, my hand is up because I have a question. We're on the governing board business, so B and C, we are going to be selecting the chair and vice chair. Do they take effective immediately, or does that happen at the next meeting?
Yes, Dean, it takes effect immediately.
Are the new members of the governing board now in position, or are they not? I'm a little confused about the timing of this.
So everyone's already a member of the governing board. This is just electing the chair and vice chairs. So the folks that are elected will move into those positions with immediate effect.
So, I mean, I'd like to propose moving B and C to the end of the governing board business, because I wouldn't want to dissuade anyone from accepting a nomination if maybe they weren't prepared enough on the agenda item to to run the meeting at that point. So I don't know. I think it makes more sense to have the selection of the chair and vice chair at the end of the meeting.
So I think that what you're suggesting, Dean, is a change in the order of the agenda. Is there any issue with that, Eric? It just says at the first meeting. I don't know that it says anything about when in the first meeting. We're looking. One second, Dean.
Yeah, I'm just thinking through this. Understanding Dean's concern is because you're concerned that a new person would start chairing the meeting and you want the current chair to continue to chair. Is that the issue, Dean?
That's mostly the issue because, for example, if someone is nominated, I don't know what nominations you've received yet or whether there be any made to the floor, but someone could be discouraged in accepting a nomination because they may not be fully ready to continue running the meeting for the rest of this meeting. So whether we can have it effective at the beginning of the next meeting or just have it effective after we've gone through the other business of today.
I'm not sure that I see the concern. So far, we have no nominations. So, and it's, you know, certainly Jonathan will continue to be a, at a minimum, a vice chair, or the chief deputy director of the State Water Board, and could continue to chair the meeting, sort of at the discretion of the person who's elected. I really don't see the issue, to be honest. So I would recommend proceeding as planned. So
that's fine. So as far as voting goes,
it doesn't affect voting. All the voting members remain voting members. This is just about the chair and vice chair positions.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no impact
to
voting.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And so I think we are going to proceed to the next item at this point, which is the consideration of the December minutes. I would call for a motion.
Move to approve.
A second?
Second.
Caitlin, will you do a roll call?
Yes. Can you remind me who the motion was? Sorry. Oh, thank you, Warren. And the second was Dan. Thank you. Okay. Give me one moment to share the roster. Okay. Sabrina Ashtian.
Yes.
Thank you. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Andy Cordecci.
Yes.
Dean Francois. Dean Francois.
I guess I was muted, yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. Gloria Gray.
Yes.
Thank you. Tracy Laverick.
Yes.
Annalisa Moe.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Christina Oh. Warren Ontiveros?
Yes.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Bruce Resnick?
Yes.
Rory Skay?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Steve Ehring?
Abstain.
Thank you. Aaron Wilson-Olgan?
Yes.
Okay, the December minutes are approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we will move on to item 3B, which is the governing board chair selection. Before we start that, I would like to state that it's been my pleasure and honor to be the chair for the last 2 years. I've tried very hard to keep this body moving forward and effective. and I appreciate all the support that I've received from all the other members and the vice chairs at the executive committee and here. Caitlin, can you summarize the voting procedures?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So we distributed the staff report and selection procedures in advance of this meeting, and they're also available on our meeting calendar webpage for reference. To summarize, the Commission's Memorandum of Understanding states that the selection of the chair occurs at the first governing board meeting in odd number years. So today, voting governing board members will be selecting a new chair from among the voting governing board members. The chair presides over all governing board meetings, works closely with commission staff to convene governing board meetings and prepare governing board agendas and reports, and also serves as chair of the executive committee. The nomination period for the chair opened on Friday, January 17th, and closed on Friday, February 7th, and no nominations for chair were received during the nomination period. After my report, floor nominations will be opened, and any governing board member may nominate a voting member for chair. Self-nominations from voting members are also allowed. If there is more than one nomination, nominees will be given 1 minute to state their interest in the position, after which a selection will take place by roll call vote of voting governing board members. The nominee that receives the greatest number of votes will be selected to serve as governing board chair, will assume their role as chair immediately after selection, and will serve until the next selection is scheduled, which is the first governing board meeting in 2027. I will be showing all nominees on the screen, and we also produced these little reference sheets for you, if that's helpful. So we'll pass these around. One side is for the chair election, so you can take notes of nominees. And here's pens. And the other side is for vice chairs, which we'll do next. So again, this is only for reference. We'll still be doing roll call vote of our members. And if there's no questions, I recommend moving to floor nominations.
Any questions? Taking a minute to let this item, these papers come around to everyone. Very tricky. Separating one piece of paper from others. Oh, and here's pens too. There's no So I believe that our reference sheet has gone around. I would open the floor up for any floor nominations for this prestigious job.
Chair Bishop, I nominate Jonathan Bishop for a continued term.
Well, I really appreciate that, but the problem is that I'm retiring in 2 months, and I will no longer be able to be a member or chair. So that would be an interesting question, but so I do appreciate the confidence, but I am unable to accept.
So good morning, everyone. I'm Martha Tremblay. If no one else is able to nominate, I am willing to self-nominate myself. I am Martha Tremblay. I'm the alternate for the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts.
Do we have any other nominations for the floor?
I had my hand up.
Yes.
Well, I do support Martha, and I think that's great. I was thinking of nominating Karen Mogis because I think that having the state agency rep on the helm is important in this organization. So I don't know if she's going to accept or not. I haven't talked to her ahead of time about it, but that was my intention.
Thank you, Dean. I think Karen is on the webcast.
Like Martha, I will accept the nomination if there's no one else that gets enough votes.
Karen, this is Eric, counsel for the commission. So Martha has raised her hand. Do you wish to be considered in the vote, or are you accepting the nomination or declining?
Well, I didn't expect to be nominated. I think I'm declining the nomination.
Okay, you will.
I will continue to be part of the governing board and the executive committee in my role as chief deputy director. I think that's what you were about to say.
That's correct. You will have a seat on the executive committee. That's called out in the commission's MOU. Thank you, Karen.
So, given that at this point, unless there's any other nominations from the floor, seeing none, Eric, do we need to take a vote at this point?
Yeah, Chair, if you could seek a motion and a second, and then we can have a vote.
Fabulous. Looking for a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, and a second? Okay.
Second.
A motion and a second.
Okay, I will call voting members in alphabetical order. Give me 1 second to share the roster. Thank you. Sabrina Ashian.
Yes.
Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Andy Corradecchi?
Yes.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
Gloria Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Tracy Laverick?
Yes.
Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Jenny Newman?
Yes.
Christina O?
Yes.
Warren Ontiveros?
Yes.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Bruce Resnick?
Yes.
Rory Skay?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Okay, I'll abstain. I'm voting for myself.
Steve Ehring?
Yes.
And Aaron Wilson-Olgan?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Martha Tremblay is selected as the new governing board chair.
Could I make a brief statement? I would like to thank Jonathan for his many years of service, not just for this commission, but the state of California. He's leaving behind an immense legacy and impact in the environmental world in California and beyond. It's a privilege to know him and work with him, and I recommend having staff draft a letter on behalf of the commission thanking Jonathan for his service, if you agree, Martha.
I agree, definitely. Thank you so much. And, you know, I look forward to following in your footsteps and keeping the commission going. Okay, so our next item now is 3C. The governing board vice chair selection.
I can introduce this item. Okay, so similarly, we distributed the staff report, and it's available on our website too for reference. The vice chair selections are also scheduled for the first governing board meeting of odd number years. And similar to the last election, voting governing board members are eligible to serve as vice chair. The vice chairs serve on the executive committee, may act as chair in the chair's absence, and just for reference, the executive committee oversees the day-to-day activities of the commission, such as exercising authority delegated by the governing board, preparing agendas for governing board meetings, and assisting with revising key documents like our strategic plan. The nomination period was the same for chair, so it opened Friday, January 17th and closed Friday, February 7th. And during that time, we received six nominations for vice chairs. And give me one moment to share that for everyone. And if you turn your reference sheet over, this is also written on that little cheat sheet we have for you. So these are all the nominations received during the nomination period. There are five seats open for vice chair selection. And once I finish my staff report, we'll move to floor nominations. And since there are more nominations than there are seats available, each nominee will be given 1 minute to state their interest in the position, and then we will move to roll call vote of voting governing board members. The five nominees that receive the greatest number of votes will be selected to serve as governing board vice chairs, will assume their position immediately after selection, and will serve until the next selection is scheduled, which is the first governing board meeting of 2027. Again, you can use that little cheat sheet, and I recommend, if there's no questions, moving to floor nominations for vice chairs.
Okay, so we're opening
Chair,
now floor nominations.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Gloria?
Yes, good. Could someone read the nominees? I'm online.
Oh, sure, Gloria. Thank you. That's a good point. So the first nominee we received is for the South Bay City's Council of Governments representative, Dean Francois. Then for Heal the Bay, Annalisa Moe. LA Waterkeeper, Bruce Resnick. Resource Conservation District of Santa Monica Mountains, Tracy Laverick. West Basin Municipal Water District, Gloria Gray. And LA City Council District 11, Tracy Park.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so any floor nominations? All right, hearing none, we'll close floor nominations. Okay, so I guess we're proceeding with election then.
Yes, would you like to request a motion in a second?
Okay, motion, first and second.
I'll make the motion.
Forgive me, yes, since we have more nominees than seats, we will give each nominee a minute to state their interest in the position. Sorry, I got ahead of myself there.
Just go down the list.
Yeah, I'll screen share the list and we'll go in order of the nominations received. And Dean will be tracking your time for 1 minute, and you now have the floor.
Well, thank you. I didn't know I was going to be nominated. Can I find out who nominated me, or can we get that information of who nominated each person? Or
Dean, you nominated yourself.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, I was unaware of that. Okay, well, my name's Dean Francois. I am a council member in Hermosa Beach and currently serve as mayor, and we rotate our positions around. I've been on the commission for several years now, representing the South Bay Council of Governments. And I served and enjoyed coming to the meetings greatly, and Jonathan's done a great job at the realm, and I look forward to serving if I am elected. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
Next, we have Annalisa Moe.
Hey, everybody. I'm Annalisa. I've actually served as an alternate for a couple of years now, but I'm relatively new to being the primary representative from Heal the Bay for the environmental/public interest seat. For those who don't know me, I'm the Associate Director of Science and Policy at Heal the Bay. And through this role, I've been able to work alongside government agencies other environmental organizations and local communities to advance policies that protect our natural resources. My role has also provided me with a deep understanding of the challenges and opportunities facing our water systems here in Los Angeles, as well as, you know, collaborative strategies necessary to handle the challenges we face. On a personal note, I've also served on other executive committees, so I know the process, and I also really enjoy that process of, like, making sure we've got all the nuts and bolts in place so that these meetings can run as smoothly as possible. So I will be happy to serve if chosen. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa.
Next is Bruce Resnick.
Good morning. I guess it's been a long day. Bruce Resnick with LA Waterkeeper. It has been an honor to serve on this commission since I really started at LA Waterkeeper and as a vice chair. You have a great group of folks to choose from, and I think you can't go wrong with anybody. But I think, we are one of the two nonprofits that are on the XCOM and serve as vice chairs, which I think is really important. I would notice between myself also and my alternate, we bring both legal, policy, legislative, as well as scientific expertise, which I think is helpful. We also work on just a broad range of issues, both on the marine environment, but also within the watershed, ranging from MPAs and water quality and urban runoff and green infrastructure and a lot of emerging issues, like Michael Quill, who often sits here, is at a wind energy conference, which is why he couldn't be here today, which is why I'm here. And so I'd certainly be honored to continue in that role and look forward, especially we have a longtime great relationship with Jonathan, but also with Martha as the new chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to Tracy.
Hi, my name is Tracy Leverick, and I'm the district manager of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. That's quite a mouthful, so I'll just refer to ourselves as the RCD. The RCD has been a presence on this board for quite a long time, and I am a new district manager and very happy and energized to continue the tradition. We have a unique the RCD has a unique community-serving perspective. We're a non-regulatory government agency that both serves the environment and the community. Our multifaceted organization bridges land and ocean by working in habitat restoration, including projects you are familiar with, such as the Topanga Lagoon, wildfire rehabilitation and prevention, which is of high interest right now, and outdoor education, as well as resource design, focusing on wildlife connectivity and conserving resources. Due to the expansion of RCD's sphere of influence, our organization now covers all the watersheds in the area, and we're a nimble organization poised to take on a variety of needs and interests in our habitats and environments.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
That's a minute.
The next we have is Gloria Gray.
Thank you. My name is Gloria Gray. I'm the president of West Basin Peninsula Water District Board. I've served in a leadership position on the exec committee for several years. I do recognize the important role that this commission plays and also the input from the public and the staff. I am honored to have served many years on the board and on the exec committee. Many of you know that West Basin is known for their water recycling program, and we've hosted this commission or the exec committee at our water recycling plant in El Segundo. I am honored to serve. I look forward to serving in any capacity, and I look forward to, if I'm selected, to serve in the executive committee to serve in the future. If not, I am always supportive of the work that the commission does. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. Next, we have Jacob Berman for Tracy Park.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello, my name is Jacob Berman. I'm the senior advisor to LA City Councilwoman Tracy Park. And just because I'm the alternate, I want to speak a little bit about myself and then a little bit about the councilwoman. So first of all, I just want to say that, you know, working as a member of this board for the last year and a half, 2 years, and serving as a vice chair has been an incredible honor on behalf of the councilwoman. And it's something that has been very important for me personally. I got engaged to my wife in Malibu on the beach. I'm a diver. The bay and the efforts we are taking here today have been just such important work to be a part of to ensure that we are ensuring that this space is cleaner, better, and sustainable for future generations. But for the councilwoman, it's also been a huge priority, not just with the fires, but you know, since before she took office, she has always referred to this, her role as a representative of the city of Los Angeles for the coastal area of the city as a guardian for this important ecosystem that needs our support. It is a huge priority for her, especially now more than ever. And you know, for me, I think that the role as vice chair is really about ensuring that we are running this board efficiently, that we are addressing issues timely, and that we are empowering the folks who are actually doing the technical work to make sure that they can do it efficiently, smoothly, and make a positive impact. So ask for your vote. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, everyone. Now it's a time to call for the motion to proceed with the election.
I'll make the motion to proceed. I'll make the motion.
Second.
All right.
Warren. Okay, so I will call voting members in alphabetical order. You should see in a moment on the roster, hopefully that's readable, legible. We have a column for each of the six nominees, so choose five, one for each seat. Sabrina Ashtian.
I'm sorry, can I clarify? Are we voting on this sheet or I'm saying five names right now?
You're saying five names, yeah.
Okay.
Would you like me to return to you? Or?
That would be great, thank you.
Jonathan Bishop.
So I always hate this part, and I've done it many, many times. So I apologize to anyone who feels slighted up front. The five names that I'm proposing are Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Leverick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. Jacob Berman.
I will also vote for Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Leverick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Sorry, and what was the, I think I missed one. I've got Annalisa Moe.
And Bruce.
Oh, and Bruce. Thank you. Andy Corradecci.
Yeah, always awkward, but Dean Francois.
Okay.
Bruce Resnick. Okay. Tracy Loverick. Gloria Gray. Tracy Park.
Thank you. Dean Francois. Oh, he's virtual.
Okay, I see. We're voting for five to exclude the lowest one. Is that what's happening here?
Yes, you choose five out of the six nominees.
I gotcha. Okay. So, Dean Francois, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovick, and Gloria Gray.
And you have one more.
Oh.
We have Annalisa Moe and Tracy Park as your last two options.
Yeah, and Annalisa Moe.
Okay, thank you. Gloria Gray.
Are you muted, Gloria? We can't hear you.
I think she may have. Okay, Gloria. Are you prepared to vote?
Can you hear me now? I support the names that the former chair gave initially. Thank you.
Okay. So just to clarify, that was the same vote as Jonathan Bishop?
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Loverick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park. Thank you. Moving to Tracy Loverick.
Thank you. Let's see. Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Loverick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. And Annalisa Moe?
I'll vote for Dean Francois, Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lavrick, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. Dan Murphy. Oops.
Annalisa, oops. Bruce, Tracy, Gloria.
Thank you. Jenny Newman.
Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Leverick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. Christina O. It's just the button. Yes.
Two through six. So Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy, Gloria, Tracy.
Thank you. Warren Ontiveros.
Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovrick, Gloria Gray, Tracy Park.
Thank you. Aaron Ordower.
Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovrick, Gloria Gray, Tracy Park.
Genevieve Osmena.
Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick.
Oh, could you turn your microphone on, please?
Can you hear me? Is it on? Yep.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry about that. And appreciate all the vice chair nominations and their statements. My vote is for Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovrick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. Bruce Resnick.
Annalisa,
is your mic on? Thank
no.
you.
No. I had to do that at least once. Annalisa, myself, Tracy, Gloria, and Tracy.
Thank you. Rory Skay.
Two through six.
Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lavrick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park. Okay. Martha Tremblay.
Dean Francois, Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park.
Thank you. Steve Ehring.
Annalisa, Bruce, Tracy, Glory, and Tracy.
Thank you. Aaron Wilson Olgan.
I'm sorry. Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park. Oops, sorry.
And I will return to Sabrina Ashtian.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. All right. Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lovrick, Gloria Gray, Tracy Park.
You just want to
thank
be
you
best.
All.
Okay, and did I miss any members, virtual or in person? Don't believe I did. Okay, so now looking at the results here, Dean Francois received 4 votes. Annalisa Moe, 18. Bruce Resnick, 19. Tracy Lavrick, 18. Gloria Gray, 18. And Tracy Park, 18. The top 5 vote getters are Annalisa Moe, Bruce Resnick, Tracy Lavrick, Gloria Gray, and Tracy Park, and are elected as the vice chairs and members of the executive committee. That'll conclude the election. Thank you, everyone, and congratulations.
Okay, moving on to the next item of the agenda.
Chair, sorry. Could I just thank Dean Francois for serving on the executive committee and being an active member? Just wanted to say thanks to him.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Luke. Okay, next item on the agenda is 3D, consideration of approval of the revised Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Bipartisan Infrastructure Law long-term plan. And I believe there was an attachment in the emails that were sent to all the board members, right, with the proposed revisions. And I guess, Luke, you can go ahead and introduce.
Thank you, Chair. One moment while I pull up my notes. So in November 2021, Congress passed the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, or BIL, to invest in the nation's infrastructure and resilience. For the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program, that amounted to around $900,000 annually over 5 years. to further the implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, or CCMP. The US EPA required the Bay Foundation to draft a long-term plan detailing the key activities to be pursued through all of those funding years. And the EPA required an annual work plan as well. The Bay Foundation is requesting adjustments to the budget of the BIL long-term plan, which require governing board approval. So I will hand the floor over to Tom for further explanation.
Thank you, Luke. I also want to thank the executive committee who met on this matter and provided some advice as to how it might help clarify what we're asking for. So the brief addition to, I think, what Luke shared is that the governing board approved that work plan back in August of 2022. The executive committee approved the budget in September of that same year in 2022. And since that point in time, a lot happens. So we're asking for an adjustment to move funds from the original BIL budget to two new efforts, one for $150,000, which would aid in continuing community-based volunteerism to help us maintain and conserve the beach dune restoration sites that we've got in Zuma, Westward, Santa Monica, Dockweiler, and Manhattan Beaches. And also moving $1 million to support the purchase of a new research vessel to enable our burgeoning work in the Bay to move forward again on all CCMP goals here that this organization has long pushed forward. Wanted to assure folks that I don't think anything's being left behind, with the exception of an opportunity that these monies were intended to help support, which was the establishment of a dune site in Venice, Marina del Rey, or Playa del Rey. At this point in time, doesn't look like we have a clear pathway with these funds and the time that we have to expend them to complete the planning, permitting, and execution of that project. So we're looking to spend those monies on beach work elsewhere. We've developed a lot of additional funds to support the CCMP as the Bay Foundation, which is part of our charge as the host entity for the NEP. And I tried to provide those in table two of that addendum to Luke's report so that you could see what we're talking about. It's been a significant amount of resources that we've been able to develop that will more than compensate from the places that we are taking money from the BIL funds. They are being more than supplanted, or I think the words I chose to use were eclipsed by those additional funds coming in. So from your interest in the work going in the ground or in the water, we're honoring all of those best we can, and we appreciate your consideration of this request. Without the additional vessel that we're looking for, I don't know how we'll be able to execute on all of those commitments that we've made. We need that infrastructure and that capacity to get folks out on the water and underwater to do the work. Thank you. I'm happy to take any questions.
Sorry, Tom, would you like me to share part of the staff report or anything, like maybe a table from there? No.
Can you go ahead and pull it up, please, okay, so that we can see the tables, and hopefully you all had a chance to look at what's proposed, and you know this is your opportunity to ask questions.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. If you can get that up on the screen, that'd be great.
Any questions? So maybe I'll start us off, and maybe this will get some discussion. I know there's a lot of uncertainty, Tom, in terms of federal funding and what's expected of us. And I mean, I'm
I have questions in terms of, yeah, the shuffling. Well, ultimately, it's like, have we gotten any information from EPA, anything in writing that identifies any requirements, any new thing associated with the funding that we were expecting to receive?
We have not received anything in writing from the EPA telling us that. Oh, did I just speak over Erica? I'll acknowledge that Erica's online in case she.
No, you didn't speak over me. Keep some. I think somebody else. Go ahead.
It's John Erickson.
Okay.
It's board member Erickson. I'm here. I'm turning my camera on shortly. Thanks. Goodbye.
So, yes, Martha, we've not received anything in writing that says that these funds are halted or not to be used in the manner in which was originally approved by this board. So we're proceeding with that understanding at this time. I do recognize that there is a lot unresolved or unknown as to what might be coming down the pike at us in the near term.
And in terms of the status in terms of these projects and what funds have been expended and what hasn't been expended, I mean, do you have an overview in terms of that? And one, there's the possibility that everything stays the same and that we get all the funding as we expected, and then there's a possibility that the funding doesn't happen. And then do we need to pivot, or where does the extra money come from? I know you're referencing that there's other funds, and it seems like we're shuffling. But so that's kind of my set of questions in terms of what is the plan? Mm-hmm. And then also in terms of the using funds to purchase a vessel, is that something, and maybe Erica is familiar with this, is this something that these types of, that can be done with these funds? And then from there, who owns the vessel?
I can chime in. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, and I can't see any of you. So if you have a question or, okay. So in terms of can a research vessel be purchased, I did look into this. And so we do have two other NEPs that have done this. So there is precedent. It is considered equipment. And then there are terms and conditions that will be attached to the grant for maintaining equipment and what happens at the end of its life. So we would most likely, it would be then the Bay Foundation would need to continue, you know, using it, operating with federal and other funds to implement the CCMP. Does that answer that part of the question? We spent several, like we've internally, when Tom first presented this to me, kind of look through what would be involved. And so I have been talking with my colleagues internally to get to this point so that the Bay Foundation could present this to the board.
And Martha, I appreciate your question about where we're at with these various projects and what monies we've already expended. I didn't prepare that for today. I can certainly bring that to the executive committee next month if that's of interest. I'd certainly be happy to update everyone as to where we're at in progress on these many projects. And I think that addresses your question, but I might be missing a second part in there.
Who
owns the boat? Sorry, yeah, it would belong to the Bay Foundation.
And I think as long as the Bay Foundation continues being the host entity that works, and if there is some separation between the host entity and us, then I don't know what is the lifespan for an asset like that. But anyway, that's just a separate item. I think it would be helpful in light of, I know that there were some revisions, and maybe that's an item that's coming up in terms of, so maybe we can talk about that separately. So at this point, what we're looking for the commission to do is vote on this move in terms of the BIL funds, in terms of how we expected those funds to be utilized, and that there, now there's a shift and there's a new item involving a vessel. And thank you, Erica, for letting us know that EPA has looked into it, and it seems it's something that's been done by other programs. So it's something we wouldn't be out of line by doing that. So any questions, thoughts from any of the board members?
Could I just point out a few things on the table displayed on the screens here? You could see the two new line items appearing towards the bottom of this table. They both have all caps new in front of them. So you see a beach dune community-based restoration and a research vessel. And then some of the line items above that have been reduced if you look at the second and third columns. So those include the Palos Verdes Kelp Restoration Project, Palos Verdes Abalone Restoration Project, Santa Monica Pier Breakwater Rocky Intertidal Preserve, and the Venice Marina Del Rey Playa Del Rey Project.
So again, just to be clear, we're only voting for this, for the budget revisions, not for any wording, not for anything else. Okay. All right. Any questions, thoughts, concerns? Otherwise, I guess.
When you say we're only voting for budget revisions, what is it we're actually voting on today?
It is, if you can see the... On your screen, Dean, there should be a list of projects and budget numbers. Previously, the board had approved, there is funding that we were expecting to get from the bipartisan infrastructure law for the estuary program, and a variety of projects had been identified with certain funding amounts. What the Bay Foundation is proposing now is some shuffling of funds, and they added a new item to include the purchase of a research vessel, which is necessary for the work that's being done. So that's what the board members are being asked to consider and approve.
If I may, Luke, if now that we've explored table one, and we've seen those places, again, those projects where we're reducing funding for, which was the Palos Verdes Kelp Restoration Project, the Abalone Project, and the Breakwater, and the work in Venice, Marina Del Rey, Playa Del Rey. If we could go to the second table, so can show folks that, yes, we're asking for a reduction from the Kelp Project, but we're backfilling that with close to $725,000. We asked for a reduction from that original proposed BIL budget for the Abalone, but we're adding an additional, not BIL funds, other sources, close to $10.8 million there. The reductions associated with the Intertidal Preserve and Venice Marina Del Rey, Playa Del Rey projects are really about timing and the availability of the funding temporarily. We wouldn't be able to get those projects as far along to get to completion with the time frames in which we expect to expend these funds. And then lastly, we see the additional monies that have also been added to that beach dune community-based restoration. So again, I'm just hopefully being very transparent about the additional monies that we're bringing on board.
Tom, could I just say a few things for clarification? So everybody, this is the same table you just saw with a column added on the end where Tom and the Bay Foundation have indicated where they're supplementing projects that they took away from in the BIL budget. Tom, could you clarify a little bit on where these funds are coming from in that last column and if the Bay Foundation, do you already have this money?
So those additional funds in that final column are from state, predominantly state sources, federal sources, and private sources of funding. So there's a good cross section there. I did not bring that breakdown as to what's private, what's state, what's federal for everybody's consideration here today. Again, I can bring all that level of detail to the executive committee next month.
I think at this point, Tom, can you answer that question, and then we're going to see if there's a motion to approve this item.
The question being the private sources? Is that the question, Martha?
Well, I think, what are the sources for the other funding? I think it's the coast. Can you go over that, the other funding you're expecting?
The majority of those funds in that additional budget line are being produced from the Santa Monica Bay Coastal Habitat Restoration Program, which was brought before this body for its consideration, informational, back in the fall, and was approved by the State Coastal Conservancy late last year. The total of those sums were around $10.26 million. Much of the abalone funding that you see there has been developed from federal funds in partnership with folks up and down the West Coast, as well as mitigation funds for the Refugio oil spill, and not mitigation for, but to improve habitat and abet those losses to the abalone from that oil spill. The Palos Verdes Kelp Restoration Project, similar support from those CHIRP funds, as I call it, Coastal Habitat Restoration Program, CHIRP, CHIRP. And in addition, those private sources of funding are from a few corporations as well as nonprofit philanthropy groups, Amazon, Overbrook Foundation, a couple other folks leaning in there. The Beach Dune Community Restoration tab that you see for about $3.763 million is, again, from those CHIRP funds. The additional scope that you see lined out in the bottom row and that final column for about $2.7 million is largely coming from those CHIRP funds I'm speaking to and funding from the Schmidt Marine Technology Partners.
Okay, thank you, Tom. So is there, are we ready for a motion?
Can I just ask one more clarifying question?
Sure.
Just when with regards to the Venice Marina del Rey, Playa del Rey, the dune restoration, just to clarify, this is not necessarily a stoppage of the work, but it's more of just realigning with the new projected timeline. Is that correct?
I think I understood you, Jacob, so I'm saying yes, but would you mind repeating yourself, if you don't mind?
Absolutely. So the change in the budget from the dune restoration work is not a stoppage of the project, but just a readjustment based on the new timeline we have.
Yeah, we're encouraged to keep pursuing funds in order to get that project going. We just knew that we needed to get moving with these funds and weren't likely to get it done in that time frame.
Absolutely, and we want to be a partner to you on that, so thank you.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, so we're
Move
ready.
Approval of the staff report.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, let's do this one, a roll call, Caitlin?
Yes. Okay. And that was a motion by Rory Skay and a second by Bruce Resnick. Okay, thank you. Okay, I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Okay, Sabrina Ashtian.
Yes, thank you.
Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Andy Corradecci.
Yes.
John Erickson.
Yes.
Oops. Thank you. Dean Francois?
Yes.
Gloria Gray?
Yes.
Tracy Lavrick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Annalisa Moe?
Yes.
Dan Murphy?
Yes.
Jenny Newman?
Yes.
Christina O?
Yes.
Warren Ontiveros?
Yes.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Bruce Resnick?
Yes.
Rory Skay?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Steve Ehring?
Yes.
And Aaron Wilson Olgan?
Yes.
The revised BIL budget is approved. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Caitlin. So this next item, this consideration of approval of a resolution regarding Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve. You all should have also received in an email a copy of this resolution. Luke, can you go ahead and introduce this item?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve, I'll refer to it as the reserve, is part of the largest remaining coastal wetland in the Santa Monica Bay watershed. Action number 13 of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program's CCMP is to restore the reserve to enhance wetland habitats and benefits to people. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife manages the reserve, as well as permits and access, including permits for invasive vegetation removal by community members. At the January 16th, 2025 Executive Committee meeting, Governing Board Member and our Governing Board Member Dean Francois, representing the South Bay Cities Council of Governments, requested that approval of Resolution 2501 be considered at this Governing Board meeting. I will now hand the floor over to Dean to provide any further information or explanation on the resolution.
Thank you. It's great to see that we are at this step of bringing this forward here. It's been many, many months of working with board member Phil Brock and Jonathan, and coming up with different versions of how to address Bayona Wetlands, given the fact that we don't know where the funding is going for any type of permanent restoration or grandiose restoration in the wetlands. So I think we've put together something that's pretty good in general to bring forward what we need to do in the interim and bring the stakeholders together, and coming together with an ability of, for people to make gentle restorations to our wetlands until something else goes forward on this. I think it's well written. It's put together well. There was one thing added in that I wasn't so sure about, and it was in the third, let's see if I can pull it up here. The third resolution. So basically the first resolution recognizes what we're doing. The second one encourages community groups to remove invasive vegetation prior to implementation of any major restoration program. The third one then calls for meeting with stakeholders on how to move forward with anything. And then fourth directs the commission to send a letter expressing the resolution's concerns. So on the third one, I had originally had in a previous version to just meet with stakeholders to move forward with a plan, and I guess it was added in move forward with the planned restoration or develop an alternative plan for the reserve if the planned restoration does not move forward. And I asked about, you know, why we couldn't take out that if the planned restoration does not move forward, and it was stated, well, bring it up at the meeting. So here I am bringing it up at the meeting, just trying to get some clarification on why we need to have that wording in there if Fish and Wildlife's planned restoration does not move forward, because we don't know at this point if it is. We may not know in the future when it will, and this, if it does not move forward, there's no way to determine when that time actually occurs, when it is not going to move forward. It could be really an infinite time frame. So I thought it'd be better to leave that section off, because that's kind of an infinite time frame. other than that, I think we have a good, solid resolution that this board can be proud of. It does address what needs to be done in the immediate near future regarding the Biona wetlands to get that thing rolling and more healthy and healthier and not disrupting too much of the wildlife in the meantime. And so I'd like to hear from other board members are their viewpoints on it and if they think we have a good resolution together to put forward. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Dean, just for clarification, are you recommending removal of the statement if CDFW's planned restoration does not move forward?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And if Dean, Luke, hello, nice to meet you, face to a person. And if board member Francois needs to make that into a motion, I will second that amendment to the resolution.
I think we have a question, Dan. Do you...
I think we can leave it in, and my take is this. I understand your point, Dean. It does leave it as a kind of, there is that infinite timeline. But the reason that I suggest leaving it in my world, we always have that contingency plan, and the contingency plan, if the Department of Fish and Wildlife determines that they're not going to move forward, I think it's important that we have in there just this kind of alternative that, meet with the stakeholders, communicate with the stakeholders, and have that contingency if at some point Fish and Wildlife determines that they are unable to move forward with it. And I don't anticipate that, but I like to have that contingency in place. So that would be my take, and just from my experience working in the emergency services, that's kind of how we like to do our plans. You got your primary, you got your alternative plan, and then there's a contingency in case it doesn't work. And then the one that we utilized so much in January was the emergency, the escape plan. But in this kind of situation, I think leaving it in there is not harmful. And if it's not harmful and it gives a final way out if necessary, I think it's useful and not going to harm the otherwise really, including that, the really well-written resolution.
Well, originally we had in to just move forward, meeting together and coming up with a plan. So what it states here is that we're not going to move forward with anything until CDFW has made some determination that they're not moving forward. And typically what happens, you know how EIRs work and everything else, things can move on for 15 years. There's no point in time that Fish and Wildlife needs to or would be required to or makes any determination that...
Okay, Dean, let's maybe pause here because we do have public comment. I think we have 30 commenters. So in light of that, let's go ahead and move with public comment 1 minute per commenter.
Can I make some comments?
In terms to the speakers that previously that had the total of 4 minutes, so Eric, we have 30 speakers, or unless maybe we have less now public speakers.
Eric is checking some language. I'll pull up the numbers for the.
You know, before we go to speakers, isn't it important for us to ask staff questions? Not necessarily deliberate, but ask questions of staff.
What is your question, Dean?
So my question is from staff, why was this statement added in?
Dean, that statement wasn't added in. We, as you know, we worked with you on this draft, and this was the language we decided to move forward with in the staff report.
Okay, thank you.
And we have 30 public comments.
30 public comments.
Right, so, I know. Eric, it would just be a good idea to find out why it was added in, because it wasn't in an earlier version. And
yes, Jonathan.
I was told bring it up at the meeting. So I think it would be important to find out why.
I believe I added it in because we were trying to come up with a
as who is this speaking right now? I'm having trouble.
Jonathan Bishop.
Zoom.
Excuse me, Jonathan Bishop. Sorry, Dean. I believe
didn't recognize your voice.
Edited the item. We were going back and forth on a number of different proposals on how to put this together. I don't remember exactly the exact sequence, but I think it was me that did it. And what I was trying to do, and what I'll just spend a minute here, is trying to get a resolution that didn't insinuate that we were telling the Department of Fish and Wildlife that they had to do a different plan than they were already doing. That may be what you wanted. And if that's the case, I would suggest that we, when we get to the motion portion, that you move to amend it, and we vote on the amendment, and then vote on the resolution, which is the methodology that usually works. I think that's where that came from, Dean. You were asking staff, and I was working directly with staff and the attorney to write the document, and so that's probably where it came from. Eric, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you very much. That's fair. I just wanted to make sure we all understood that. Thank you.
All right, Eric.
So to the question you raised regarding comment times, Bagley-Keene Open Meetings Act does provide for us adopting reasonable limitations regarding the total amount of time allocated for public comment. In this case, it sounds like we have 30 or so commenters, and we have 37 minutes left in the meeting. Is that right? I expect that there will also be discussion. I think there's also a possibility that we are going to lose quorum, which means we're going to have to stop the meeting. Unless we have fewer than 15 voting members between both the in-person and online platform, we can't continue the meeting. And I think we're possibly losing the in-person quorum. So I don't know if 1 minute is reasonable. I mm-hmm. can't really comment on that.
So then our options are, I mean, we can do 2 minutes and we listen to everyone at the end of the item. If we don't have a quorum, then this item will not be voted on until the next board meeting.
That's correct. And not only that, I mean, if it does happen that we lose the quorum, because we have 15 voting members in person right now, mm-hmm. that is the minimum needed to hold the meeting. If we lose one, we have to stop the meeting.
Okay, we would.
You only lose quorum. Point of order. Parliamentary procedure only calls for the losing of a quorum if a board member calls for a quorum call. So you have quorum until someone says and calls a point of order and says and checks for quorum.
So under Bagley-Keene, you can. There are a few different pathways for authorized meetings of a state body. We operate under Bagley-Keene, and. Right now, we're operating under the sort of hybrid approach mm-hmm. That allows this flexibility. We certainly can't meet any of the other requirements, other okay. pathways. So once we lose a mm-hmm. member, we will no longer have a quorum, and
okay.
we'll have to shut the meeting down.
Can I jump in for a second?
Sure.
Can I just jump in? Because I am the quorum issue. I have a board meeting for LA Waterkeeper quarterly at 12:30. Trying to see if I can. I did not bring my laptop. Unfortunately, I thought I would be back. So, and I'm an hour drive from here. So I'm already not probably going to make my board meeting. So they're trying to see if they can get a room for me here with a computer that I can patch in which case I can stay till the end of the meeting. So, okay. So hopefully we can be okay. Yeah.
So Eric, was your suggestion 1 minute might not be reasonable?
I think
a minute and a half.
We can proceed with that. I think that, you know, As Member Bishop mentioned earlier, if people are just repeating the same thing, they can point to that commenter and say, "I second that person's comment."
Okay. So, is the desire we continue and we can do maybe a minute and a half, and ultimately, public speakers can also decide not to speak if they're interested in moving forward also.
That's
so, okay.
Yeah.
We'll do public comment, and then after that have discussion about an amendment or whatever, and then vote. So, Bruce, thank you very much for working with us. Okay, let's move forward.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The first commenter we have is Marcia Hanscom, followed by Robert Vandehook.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Honorable Governing Board members, Marcia Hanscom with the Coastal Lands Action Network and Defend Biona Wetlands. I would like to say thank you to Mayor Francois, to retiring Chair Bishop for all the work you've done on this, and for Aaron Wilson of Fish and Wildlife, who owns the land and manages it, for putting all the work in for the last year and a half to finally get to this resolution. I hope you will be able to vote on it today. It's taken a long time to get here. I would like to support taking out those eight words because that was the whole point, was let's all get together in a room, all the stakeholders. We haven't done that for 17 years. All the stakeholders in one room so that we can agree on what we can agree on instead of fighting for another 17 years. Senator Allen was totally in support of that. He was like saying, wait, we've got two city council members, one from Hermosa Beach, one from Santa Monica. I am wanting to listen to them and I want us to find something that we can all agree on to move forward. I know there are things we agree on. And if you look at our gentle restoration plan at defendbionawetlands.org, there are 20 points there. Many of them we would agree on, and they don't even require an environmental impact report or an environmental impact statement. So that's what we're trying to say today is
thank you,
please
Marcia,
support
that.
Thank you.
A minute and a half.
The next speaker we have is Robert Vandehook, followed by Jane Velez Mitchell. Robert, you should now be able to unmute yourself. You now have the floor. If you're speaking, Robert, we can't hear you. Okay, Robert, we'll return to you. I'll move on to Jane Velez Mitchell. You should now be able to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello, my name is Jane Velez Mitchell. I'm a TV journalist and author, and I live near the Biona Wetlands. Thank you, Mayor Francois and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop, for your work on this very important resolution and for getting it on the agenda. The time has come to acknowledge that the California Department of Fish and Wildlife's plan for the Biona Wetlands has been discredited in the courts and in the court of public opinion. It is so clearly, obviously, designed to benefit the fossil fuel industry and developers who want to bulldoze the Biona Wetlands, not for the people, but for their own profit. Now, we have this wonderful opportunity, an opportunity to come together and choose an alternative that achieves all the legitimate goals of restoration. I urge all the stakeholders in the Biona process to seek a collaborative approach for a gentle alternative to the heavy equipment bulldozing project proposed by CDFW, whose environmental impact report has been thrown out by a California Superior Court. and has such flawed flood planning that the Army Corps of Engineers refuses to give it its stamp of approval. Definitely take that phrase out. We need to move beyond this. Obviously, we're in a new era where really important programs are being just thrown out the window, which makes it even more heartbreaking to continue with this just nonsensical, wrong, fake
Thank
restoration.
You,
okay, I will return to Robert. You should now be able to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. You have the floor.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. Congratulations on being our new chair. And also thank you, Jonathan, for your service and to Jean Francois for moving this forward. I'd like to echo briefly what Marcia Hanscom just spoke about on this item 3E and the number 3 point of the phrase restoration does not move forward. We need to initiate genuine, real meetings. And I think Aaron, as the new director for the CDFW, can do a really good community meetings program so that we as citizens and scientists, I'm an environmental biological scientist and geographer, and I've been involved for the 25 years of making comments and attending and with science committees at various times. So this is important to start over. The court, Superior Court, the judge has ruled this project is not going to happen unless, and he made it clear that there should be these meetings again. And the United States Army Corps of Engineers that owns the levees is not interested in risking flood control. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has said endangered species are here. So we need to go back and cancel this idea of doing this restoration.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you for your comments. Next, we have Sarah Segal, followed by Wendy Zacuto. Sarah, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you, Mayor Francois and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop, for your work on this resolution and for getting it on the agenda today. Now that everyone is in here, a group of grown adults, we should be able to make decisions that are logical. I do support the resolution passing, but only if this one small but important change is made. So please remove these words. If CDFW's planned restoration does not move forward in number 3 under the therefore section of the resolution, this is based on also what Marcia's comments were and others. We all need to come to an agreement on such important decision. We need to make this today. Those words must be removed, or you might as well not even pass the resolution, as it would be leaving things with the status quo, which is not what the public or Mayor Francois even wants. The other thing I just heard someone say is that we need to have public awareness, because I've been working, letting people know about this for over 9 years. And when I went to even Whole Foods in El Segundo and other places, no one has ever heard of this restoration. And I think that we need to have a community awareness day, very important, not between the hours of 9 and 5 p.m. where no one can come on this except for 30 comments. I know that tens of thousands of people would be very interested in commenting on this if it's not left in.
Thank you, Sarah.
The next speaker we have is Wendy Zacuto. Should now be able to unmute yourself. And then next is Armadi May. Wendy, you have the floor.
Thank you. I thank you, Mayor Francois and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop, for your work on this resolution. I support the resolution passing, but only as Mayor Francois recommended today. Leaving it with the status quo is not what the public or anyone else wants. Mayor Francois and Mayor Brock asked for these to be the way we would like them to be. Let's meet to find out where we can move forward together. And I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Next, we have Armadi May. You should now be able to unmute yourself. Apologies if I mispronounced your name.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can.
Hi. Good morning, Commission. My name is Dr. Armadi May. I am a practicing veterinarian and the founder of the Veterinary Association for the Protection of Animals, and an appreciator of nature and the wonderful animals at the Bayona wetlands that need to be supported through a gentle restoration effort. So I want to start off by thanking Mayor Dean Francois for his leadership and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop for your work on this resolution and getting it on the agenda today. I support the resolution passing, but only if the words CDFW's plan restoration does not move forward are removed from the resolution. It's very important that be removed so that we can move forward without having the risk of heavy equipment and bulldozing impeding the gentle habitats that need to be respected and restored in a responsible, logical manner. There is a 20-point plan outlined by the Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve, Defend Bayona Wetlands, that includes things such as allowing for bald eagle nesting platforms along the south levee of the Bayona Creek, devising a program similar to the successful one at Catalina Island, where high school students feed the young eagle.
Thank you, Armadi.
Okay, the next speaker we have is Helen Coyne-Hurl, followed by Tiffany Brunelli. Helen, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you. This is Helen Coyne-Hurley. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. I am a member of the Sierra Club and have been working on the Bayona Wetlands issues for the last 16 years. Today, I ask that you, the Commission, pass item 3E on the agenda, the resolution, without the languages which has been previously reported, the CDF planned restoration does not move forward. I also greatly support and appreciate the help of both Mr. Francois and other mayors who have supported getting this resolution on the agenda. I'm very interested in seeing that the tribes and other peoples are incorporated into the restoration process and that the education effort continues in a big way. The prior speaker spoke about having a day on which people would be educated about this, so I'm fully supportive of that. And I like the idea of having state and or federal rangers there to help guide and allow some access, a limited access, to the wetlands with a limited trail. And I especially like the overviews that are mentioned that could be in several areas of the wetlands. All of this is about education of the public. Thank you.
Thank you. The next commenter we have is Tiffany Brunelli, followed by Michael Fujimori. Tiffany, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Yes, hi, thank you. And I want to thank Mayor Dean Francois and the retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop for your work on this resolution and for getting it on the agenda today. I support the resolution passing, but only if they make the one small important change is made. Again, remove the words if CDFW's plan restoration does not move forward. And we've discussed this, but it's under number 3. And I also want to say I support, let's meet to find out what things we agree on and where we can move forward. So I'd like some ideas, including the bike path. I'm a cyclist and have ridden, opening up that bike path on Fiji Way would be nice. I've ridden by there. It's very relaxing. And also bringing the native sea otters back to the to the wetlands, and also all these plans are a gentle restoration plan, and also making a walkway there that we could open dawn to dusk, a nice place where we could all agree on a nice walkway through nature. So the climate really needs these plants, trees, and soils to remain intact and to retain the carbon storage that is current.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Okay, the next speaker we have is Michael Fujimori, followed by Jeff Hoffman, then Olivia Jenkins. Michael, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. My name is Michael Fujimori, and I'm a member of the Sierra Club Airport Marina Group Chapter leadership team. I'm a native Angeleno, and I've lived here my whole life, and I'm a longtime proponent and activist for the protection of the environment and wildlife. And today I'm asking that you please remove the words FCDFW's plan restoration does not move forward in 3E under the therefore section of the resolution. Otherwise, I want to thank especially Mayor Francois for supporting this, and also Jonathan Bishop for both of your hard work on this resolution and getting it on today's agenda. But as I stated, these words have to be removed. It's not what the public wants, and not what Mayor Francois and Mayor Brock from Santa Monica asked for. There's an excellent 20-point gentle restoration plan for the Bayano Wetlands, which has been discussed by other callers. That's called defendbayanowetlands.org website, which I urge you to read because I feel that's the only sensible path for the wetlands moving forward. And the wetlands need to be left undisturbed because the trees, plants, and soil are essential to retain carbon sequestration and carbon storage that is currently in place at the Bayano Wetlands. And don't bulldoze Bayano. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
The next speaker we have is Jeff Hoffman, followed by Olivia Jenkins, then Christina Koo. I don't see Jeff Hoffman in the call, so I will move on to Olivia Jenkins. Olivia, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Hey, good morning. My name is Olivia Jenkins, and I'm the Manager of Scientific Programs at the Friends of Bayano Wetlands. Commission, I want to respect your limited time and therefore speak today as part of a broad wetland restoration coalition that has supported the restoration as detailed in the EIR, including Surfrider, Audubon, California, LMU, Center of Urban Resilience, Pacoima Beautiful, the Nature Conservancy, Trust for Public Land, Tree People, and many others. We appreciate BRC's efforts to advance restoration at Bayona and support keeping the resolution at a high level. In point three on the resolution, we strongly recommend removing the mention of an alternative plan so we can stay focused on the existing science-backed restoration plan, which has been thoroughly vetted through a public process and is now close to execution. At this stage, an SMBRC resolution should support moving forward rather than revisiting alternative options. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Next speaker we have is Christina Koo, followed by Karen Lakava.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I see this has become a little bit more contentious. I had a really nice speech for y'all, complimenting everybody, but I have to skip that. I'm sorry. So it seems like there's a big controversy with the Bayano Wetlands work with the CDFW that's been ongoing, so I won't go into that. But I think this particular issue today in front of you on these words, there could use some clarification, and I appreciate Mr. Murphy for explaining as a backup plan, but when we're reading it, it really predicates everything on what CDFW will do. So I think that is the issue here. And because CDFW has been involved in litigation and the EIR reports and the environmental reports have been, sort of torn apart, and there's litigation involved. So it's very time consuming and costly. So we are trying to move forward with a plan, which everybody's calling the dental restoration, but it's actually the most effective, cheap, very cheap plan, and doable, something that you can all get together and get it done and take credit for this amazing work that you will do at Biona Wetlands. And it doesn't really, you know, negate what everybody's doing. It taking account of everything, doing it cheaply,
thank you,
doing
Christina.
It effectively. Thank you.
The next speaker we have is Karen LaCava, followed by Mary Beth Trapwine.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, first of all, thank you, Jonathan and Dean. Very quick thank you. I want to move on to my what I need to say. First of all, before I say anything, I would like to let you know that the Friends of the Biona Wetlands they've been paid by the gas company. They've gotten donations from SoCalGas, and their treasurer is the VP of SoCalGas. I just wanted to let you know that, and that, you know, the process has already been challenged in court and has their process is lost. So anyway, we really need to, I'm definitely for the resolution being passed, but only with those eight words. If CDFW's planned restoration does not move forward, that should be removed. You know, we've had so much stuff happening. I mean, this planet is burning up. We need to protect the environment. We need to protect the wildlife. We do not want seawater coming in and destroying this you know, freshwater place that is home to so many animals and plants. And we do not want this to be bulldozed. We do not want heavy equipment. The Defend Biona Wetlands group has an amazing alternative restoration plan that is so much better for the environment. Let's protect this planet. Let's protect the animals.
Thank you, Karen.
The next speaker we have is Mary Beth Troutwine. Apologies if I mispronounced your last name. Followed by Annie Abram.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. You pronounced my name correctly. My name's Mary Beth Troutwine. I'm a local resident who has lived next to and enjoyed the Santa Monica Bay for over 25 years. Thank you to Mayor Francois and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop for your work on this resolution. In the concern of time, I would just like to emphasize that removing the eight words, if CDFW's plan restoration does not move forward, from the resolution. Please remove those words. And then also, please do look up the Defend Biona Wetlands 20-point plan for gentle restoration. I join many in my community who say, let's meet together so we can move forward. Discussing the elements within the gentle restoration plan and removing those words will really help the Biona Wetland and the Santa Monica Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
The next speaker we have is Annie Abram, followed by Walter Lamb. Annie, you should now be able to unmute yourself. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can.
Awesome. Thank you. Hi. Thank you for having this meeting. Hello, my name is Annie Abram, and I'm an environmentalist and member of Sierra Club Airport Marina Group Leadership Team. I would like to deeply thank Mayor Francois and retiring Chair Jonathan Bishop and Erickson for your hard work on this crucial resolution, for putting on this this agenda today and working so hard on this issue. Let me start by saying destruction is not restoration. Bulldozing is not restoration. Please do not bulldoze Biona. That is the biggest point I would like to make. We should do this restoration, but with the gentle 20-point restoration plan, as Marsha, Jane, Roy, everybody else had repeated over and over. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for caring to take this forward to the gentle restoration and not bulldozing. Bulldozing will mean only in a time that we are having environmental catastrophe to killing a thousands of wildlife, more than 1,700 wildlife, who have had been already in the verge of extinction, so many of them. And we will be releasing carbon, tons of carbon, in the next 10 years while spending billions of our tax dollars doing what? To destroy biota? No. 20-point gentle restoration, do not bulldoze. And it, please remove the if, the CDFW, if.
Thank you, Annie.
Okay, the next speaker we have is Walter Lamb. And Walter, I know you'd like me to share some slides, so we'll track your minute and 6 seconds separately and let you know when your time ends. And then Jack Neff is next to speak. Can you stop sharing your screen? Just give me one moment, Walter, to get your slide up.
To save time, I'll just thank Mayor Francois and CDFW while you're bringing the slide up, and then that way I can get through a little bit quicker. We are actually doing some habitat restoration under the guidance of CDFW in the Bino Wetlands, which we greatly appreciate. It's a small step in the right direction. See if the
Sorry,
slide comes
Walter,
up.
I'm having a technical issue.
All okay. right. Appreciate your help.
There it is. Okay, it should be loading shortly.
Okay, great. So I just want to be clear, the Land Trust really appreciates all the commenters, but we support passage of the resolution, even if improvements aren't made. And the reason why is it's a pretty powerful resolution on invasive weeds, which has been our interest for a year and a half. We think the resolution could be substantially strengthened by referencing existing Clean Water Act targets for this very subject, and also encouraging CDFW to adopt its own, whatever they come up with, measurable success criteria. I think, you know, to the contention that you're hearing, you know, my advice from the beginning was to not conflate the two issues of the invasive vegetation removal with the project that always is going to raise a lot of concerns. Our belief is that the project is currently designed has no realistic chance of moving forward anyway. And so I think Mayor Francois made a good point about, you know, when is the determination made? But we do support, even if no changes are made, we support the resolution passing today and really appreciate it getting on the agenda. There will be more to discuss going forward. And again, appreciate all the other speakers taking the time to weigh in. It's so important. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Walter.
Okay, the next speaker we have is Jack Neff, followed by Teresa Brady. Jack Neff, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Mayor Francois, and thank you, outgoing Chair Jonathan Bishop, for owning up to adding the language that other speakers have, the eight-word phrase that other speakers say is a deal breaker for this resolution. It's going to be subject to amended motion to remove those phrases. And I just want to speak to the commissioners who represents organizations that are inland, that are up along the watershed that flows down into Bayona wetlands. Take into consideration what the soil means for the freshwater runoff that is coming off of your mountains that you're hoping to percolate into your aquifers to keep, like the Las Virgenes Water District and West Basin MWD, County Department of Sanitation. A gentle restoration is in your favor because the plan that was rejected by the court has too much bulldozing, and that means concrete, that means inundation as sea levels rise. That means that there's flooding, and that a slow and that good soil will percolate fresh water in there, and as is the levees, will hopefully preserve against saltwater intrusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
The next speaker we have is Teresa Brady, followed by Patricia McPherson.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor Francois and retiring Chair John Bishop for getting this on the agenda. We support Hermosa Beach Mayor Dean Francois' desire, as it is in the public's desire, to remove the following words, quote, if CDFW's planned restoration does not go forward, end quote, under the therefore section. I support a gentle restoration that leaves many trees, plants, and creatures that need them in place. The climate needs those plants, trees, and soil to remain intact to retain the carbon sequestration and carbon storage that is currently in place at the Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve. All the endangered species, habitat, forage, nesting should be avoided, and there is a lot of that already there. If we can agree on some actions, we can agree on some actions that can be taken that will not disturb biodiversity and habitat functioning. And we will go to the together to the Coastal Commission to support moving forward with those actions. Bulldozing for 9 years is not ecologically sound, nor is it good for the many species that thrive there now. Thank you for your time.
The next speaker we have is Patricia McPherson, followed by Margot Griswold. Patricia, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Hi, Patricia McPherson, Grassroots Coalition. I guess I should have spoken during the time frame earlier that I ceded. I would ask that this board honor the state of California's activities to protect its freshwater resources, and to that end, ask that stakeholder meetings and discussion with CDFW to develop and move forward with Biona Wetlands Restoration Plan that comports with the State of California Sustainable Groundwater Management Act and the Department of Water Resources acknowledgement of Biona as a groundwater-dependent ecosystem. I remind you that EIR was decertified, 928-23, CDFW and the Coastal Conservancy signed documents to rescind the project's findings, invalidate all CDFW approvals of the project. The Department of Water Resources has already developed strategies for implementing groundwater evaluation that haven't been done, that are required to be done, that Audubon California, LA Audubon, Nature Conservancy, Grassroots Coalition, Union of Concerned Scientists, Clean Water Action, Clean Water Fund, Local Government Commission have all worked towards getting these evaluations done and in place. To that end, I ask that you explore with stakeholders an alternative planning, whether CDFW's current plan is included or not. It is important to know we do not need to have that plan at all anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia.
Next, we have Margot Griswold, followed by Jackson Garland. Margo, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Yes, good morning. Margo Griswold, representing Los Angeles Audubon Society, restoration ecologist myself. I would support this resolution if the words CDFW's planned restoration does not move forward. By leaving those words in, it's fairly meaningless, and we'll be stuck where we've been for the past 20 or more years. Los Angeles Audubon also supports and has been working with Grassroots Coalition on the groundwater sustainability plan, and we agree with her previous comments. I would also add that if any community restoration is being planned, it be monitored for effectiveness, both for success and failure. As a restoration ecologist, for the past 33 years, you can learn from both, and it's more effective. Further, Los Angeles Audubon Society has for the last 15 years called for consensus planning for the Biona wetlands. And I believe that is the best way for us to move forward, where we really look at the science, the current science that's been ignored in CDFW's plan thus far, and we look at water and the current state of the climate and in a consensus way.
Thank you, Margot.
Next, we have Jackson Garland, but I do not see him in the Zoom meeting, so I will move along to Suzanne Cumming, followed by Britt Lind.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Cumming. Thank you for listening to everybody speaking today, and I'd like to reiterate my support for Deacon Francois's deletion of those eight words. You know, that CDFW plan is defective. It's the EIR in it is decertified. There's so many issues with that. The baseline survey that is based on is dated 2018. Any plan, maybe they might come out with another plan. A new plan would be taking into consideration a new baseline survey. There's so many serious issues with this. It's nowhere near moving forward. Everybody loves 007, the trash collector. CDFW's current plan includes taking out the levees, which funnel the trash to 007. Without the levees, the wetlands would be full of trash, and nobody wants that. What we would like is everybody coming together, a land management plan that includes all the stakeholders coming together and working on something that is going to serve many generations to come.
Thank you, Suzanne. That's time.
The next speaker we have is Britt Lind, followed by Heather Michaels.
Hi, I'm Britt Lind with Kindness and Science in Action. And I've only been doing this for a few short weeks, but it's obvious to me that those eight words that everyone's been referring to need to be left out, or else we'll be stuck in the status quo for years to come. Thank God the Superior Court threw out Fish and Wildlife's plan to bulldoze the wetlands. But there are still people with their own self-serving reasons who want to see the wetlands bulldozed and destroyed. There is a 20-point action plan that all of you should read. It is beautiful. It is well put together. And it needs to start being implemented now. So please pass the resolution and just leave out those eight unnecessary words. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Next, we have Heather Michaels, followed by Jeanette Vosberg. And that is everyone who requested to speak in advance. So, reminder, if you're if you'd like to comment on this item, please raise your hand if you're in Zoom. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for your patience. Especially thank you to the mayor and the retiring chair, Jonathan Bishop. I stand with my colleagues in reiterating the same request, the same urge of empathy for our communities, for the climate. Those eight words are so simple, but you can edit this. You can change that. And by the way, I'm also a TV journalist, and I'm a council member on the Neighborhood Council for 12 years. I'm also on the Sustainability Committee. We are so concerned, obviously, about our communities, about the area being bulldozed, and those very critical valued environmental, very rare and endangered species being uprooted, and any further damage being done to them. This is, like we all have reiterated, this is a simple fix. Those few 8 words can just be edited per what the mayor and all of my colleagues here have suggested. We would deeply appreciate it. I also want to employ to you that, you know, you have children, you have grandchildren. I know you care about the climate. I know you care about the communities. Let's do this. Let's just get this done so this does not drag on for another many, many, many years. Really appreciate your time, and thank you so much for hearing me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. The last speaker we have that requested to speak is Jeanette Vosburgh, who's joining us virtually. Jeanette, you should be able to unmute yourself now.
Thank you very much. I would like, you can hear me, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to support, in particular, the remarks by Patricia McPherson of Grassroots Coalition and Dr. Margot Griswold of Los Angeles Audubon Society. Now, that is not to say that I do also support the removal of the 8 words that so many people have brought up and many of the other remarks, but specifically the remarks of Margot Griswold and Patricia McPherson. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude public comment on this item.
Thank you to all public commenters. Thank you for your time. I guess we've heard support with proposal for an amendment. Jonathan?
So I just want to say a couple of words having written this. I want to make sure folks understand what the Resolve 3 says, which is it recommends, this board is recommending that CDFW meet with stakeholders and discuss their current plan and any alternative, with or without that phrase being taken out. I'm fine with the phrase being taken out. I would be happy to make a motion, but I don't want people to walk away thinking that this invalidates the process that's going on at CDFW, because it doesn't. And I don't want folks to be thinking that next meeting they come back and say, well, why didn't CDFW throw out their plan? Because you adopted a resolution. This doesn't do that. It encourages CDFW to have discussions with the stakeholders. I think that's always good, and that's what we should be doing as a commission, not trying to dictate their outcomes. So with that, in, if the chair is amenable, I would make a motion that we move forward with the resolution striking if CDFW's restoration does not move forward, because I don't believe either way matters. And so I think that it, I would make that recommendation, and so that we can move this forward. I know that we're already over time.
Is there a second? Or
Actually, I would like to propose a friendly amendment on top of this amendment, if possible. It sounds like there's maybe a number of different reasons for wanting to strike this language, but one of them just being like a timing issue of just wanting to move forward. And so I'd also like to propose just cutting the resolution a little bit even shorter of moving forward with CDFW's planned restorations and, of course, meeting with stakeholders. And instead, perhaps having a phrase that encourages or that requires a report back from CDFW on progress so that we can, you know, move forward in a timely manner.
Could you be a little more specific on where to add that language?
Yes, let me look at it. So then this would cut it back basically to, there we go, to where it says move forward with CDFW's planned restoration, and require that CDFW report to SMBRC on progress made, I suppose.
No, that's the same thing as now. Why don't we just go with
whatever?
Oh, ask. Yeah, ask.
Yeah.
Ask is fine. Yeah,
ask is great. I promise I'll report back as required or asked.
Yeah.
If I could just say one item, Chair Bishop, I know that you explained a little bit more to the public commenters about this, but I just want to reiterate, a resolution is not binding, so we're encouraging and asking CDFW to take our perspective into consideration. We do not have the regulatory authority under this body to be ordering it, and so I think that that's maybe where some of the contention is coming from, where we are all acting to, we all want to protect and preserve the environment, and that's why we are in the work that we're in. And so, you know, I think that there are ways of working together that could cut down on some of the contention, because the resolution is just saying that we are trying to move forward and we're trying to address this issue because we understand that it's a very serious issue for the community. That's it. Thank you.
So can I just say something real quick?
Yeah. As you should talk to Martha.
Oh, Martha, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm going to miss you. You've done a great job. Martha.
Yes, go ahead.
Just as the person that's going to receive your letter and your resolution in the mail, I appreciate the board's the idea of the resolution, and I appreciate all your support and all the members' support on the Biona restoration. And I do understand that not everybody's going to get what they want, and that's just how things happen. But I do say that I've done what I can in the last 2 years to try and listen to everybody and meet with as many people as I can to hear what they what their concerns are. But I think that there's a misunderstanding that the EIR was not destroyed. It was decertified, and we won on almost everything except for two issues that we are still working on to recertify, and we just won our appeal in December. So just given the budget issues with the state, which I think everybody knows about, everything was kind of up in the air as we moved through our budget issues, and now that that's kind of been worked through, I do know that we're trying to find the money to continue that effort, and so we have not set aside that mission to get that done. So we're still trying to get that EIR recertified and still move forward with a project, but also understand too that that project is only at 30% design, so there are still a lot of things that need to be done to move that project forward and to finalize the design. So I'm still committed to meet with everyone and talk about them and, you know, find a final solution and a final design, with or without those, what is it, eight words? It doesn't matter to me. But I don't really want to meet with stakeholders if that's only going to be the conversation. If the only conversation is going to be another plan, then I don't think that that's going to get things moving today. So, but I do just want to say that I've never said no to a conversation. So if you most people have my email and most people know where to find me, so just reach out.
Thank you, Aaron. Bruce?
Yeah, I kind of want to echo some of those. I was debating whether to speak or not, especially since I'm the one who's most tight on time. But
me too.
But so look, you know, I look at language like this in a resolution, and the problem is it isn't in isolation. Like, we all know that, right? So there's nothing on here that gives me any heartache. I believe in, engagement. I believe in exploring opportunities for collaboration and where we can work together. I've actually led efforts like that, even around just as contentious efforts like the Bay Delta when I was at PCL. We led a no regrets coalition. I think a lot of us share frustration that things haven't moved forward. I think there also has to be an appreciation that it takes multiple sides to make things move slowly, and I don't think there's necessarily a recognition of that. So on its face, you know, there's nothing that's wrong here. The problem is, there is a history and there is an agenda and all that. And we know that. We intellectually know that. There is a group of folks that don't want anything to do with what the preferred alternative. And there are a group of folks, my organization is one of them, as is Gila Bay and many others. I know they only had one caller in, but they actually represent a lot of folks that fundamentally have a different idea. And I believe there's good faith on both sides. I genuinely do. I believe both sides want the best thing, and we just disagree with what that is. And that's okay. I think the problem is we talk about, you know, what is the goal behind this? Well, when you hear so much focus on the last eight words, it's very clear what the goal is. The goal is, you made a good point, Murphy, commissioner, what are we, Commissioner Murphy? You know, it's always good to have backup plans, and I do, and I think that's a really good idea, except having that also is sort of sending a message. And we know it's meant to send a message because there's so much focus on these eight words that there are people that don't want to see the EIR, has been discussed moving forward. And so, you know, having that, is this going to then get used to try, even though it doesn't have any official power, to try to say, oh, yes, we need to restart a plan. But even that, I can kind of live with, although I probably won't vote unless if we delete those words. I'm just one vote, but I want those end words in. The other thing, though, I have to say, because it even came up today, is we say, oh, we want a dialogue and we want consensus-based. Well, consensus-based, except we don't want to give on anything. We don't like anything in this plan, but we want consensus, which is okay, fine. But there also has to be a mutual trust and respect. And I know from the side of folks that have been frustrated, they don't feel they're listened to and what have you. And I think the other side would maybe disagree with that. But there has been a lot of hate thrown at folks that support. I mean, the members of groups that have supported the cleanup that was proposed in the EIR have been called racists, fascists, Nazis. Just today, we were told we have bad intent. We are all sold out. I owe my soul to SoCalGas, apparently. And to say we're going to then all come together in a kumbaya when literally just today, rule of thumb as an activist, because I'm an activist, don't piss off the people you need to vote for you. don't come in and say, oh, you're sold out, but here, vote for my mission. And I know you didn't say me directly, but I am one of those groups that has been accused of that. So I've said where I am going to end up on the motion, which is I would support the motion as it was presented. Frankly, I would have rather not even had the alternative. I would have rather cut it and move forward with planned restoration cut. But I can live with it with the end words. Again, I'm one vote. If we pull those words, that's fine. You won't have my vote. But I was gonna shut up until I started hearing people and there's no goodwill and friends is sold out and all that. And it pisses me off. And then say, but we want a really meaningful dialogue. Well, don't call me a sellout and then want to sit down with me.
Thank you, Bruce. So I think this resolution provides an opportunity to collaborate, and I'm glad that our board members were trying to clarify in terms of, at the end of the day, the commission, we make recommendations, we listen, but ultimately we don't have a regulatory oversight over other fish and wildlife or fish and game. So are we ready to make a motion?
Well, a motion was made, and I'm going
to
second the motion.
Well, are we ready to move forward and complete the motion? Or, Annalisa?
Yes. Thank you. I actually want to clarify that my original friendly amendment was to cut it back to planned restoration and make the addition and leave it up to the original motion maker to accept or decline that friendly amendment.
So I made the original motion. I don't accept that because I wouldn't see the. So I would accept the ask for the commission to report back. I think that's a reasonable thing to ask, but I don't think there's a reason to take it out. I understand if you don't agree, but I don't know where that leaves us, Martha.
So we have Jonathan's motion. Do we have a second for his motion with the amendment shown on the screen?
Yeah,
Jonathan, can you clarify that you're moving, well, let's give staff a second to put it in the form that we think we're being asked to approve.
No, so I did, the friendly amendment was to take out or develop an alternative plan for restoration and add in the progress. I said that I'm not comfortable with the removing the or how to develop a restoration. I am comfortable with leaving in that a report to the commission. So I gotta wait till you. Yes.
And are we voting, or would we be making a motion on the amendment or the resolution?
It's the resolution with the amendment.
The resolution as amended.
As amended.
And let's just take a second.
So that is the motion that I made that's showing now.
So it's voting, cutting out
those. Are we voting right now? Because I really do need to go.
So we are, I'm looking for a second. And then
I have my hand up. I'll second that.
Okay, we have Jonathan Bishop. We also have Aaron. I also want to draw everybody's attention to the bottom of the resolution where we have replaced Jonathan Bishop with Martha Trembler.
Okay, so we have the motion and a second. So let's do roll call before we lose our quorum.
Okay, let me share the roster. Okay, and so this is the resolution as amended. Sabrina Ashton?
Yes. Can you clarify for those of us that are virtual, because there's been a lot of back and forth.
So to clarify the amendment that is being made, is that what you're asking for, John Erickson? Can you put it back on the
screen? Yes, please.
Okay, so the amendment being made is to revise the resolve number 3 to state recommends that CDFW meet with stakeholders, including tribal leaders, to discuss how to move forward with CDFW's planned restoration or how to develop an alternative plan for the reserve, with the addition of and ask CDFW to report to the commission on progress made. What is being removed is the statement if CDFW's planned restoration does not move forward. Staff also made the change to update the governing board chair's name at the signature line below from Jonathan Bishop to Martha Tremblay. Does that help?
Okay, let's continue roll call vote now.
Okay, Sabrina Ashton.
Yes.
Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Andy Corradecchi.
Yes.
John Erickson.
Yes.
Dean Francois.
Yes.
Gloria Gray. I'll come back for Member Gray. Tracy Lovrick.
Yes.
Oh, was that a
yes?
Okay, thank you, Gloria. And Tracy, can you repeat yours?
Yes.
Thank you. Annalisa Moe.
Yes.
Dan Murphy.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Christina O. Yes. Warren Ontiveros.
Yes.
Aaron Ordower?
Yes.
Thank you. Genevieve Osmena?
Yes.
Bruce Resnick?
Nay.
Rory Skay?
Reluctantly, yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Steve Ehring?
Yes.
And Aaron Wilson Olgan?
I'm a no.
Okay, the number of yes votes is 18, noes is 2. The resolution is approved as amended.
Thank you, Caitlin. And I guess it's 12:24, and there were two items on the agenda that are informational items that we are okay to continue for April, right? Or there will be included in the April agenda, right?
We'll tee that up at the executive committee meeting in March.
Okay.
And I would add that I think the 4B is going to be presented for approval. Is that correct? So that's definitely on the agenda.
Oh, for the next agenda for April? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I guess in the interest of time, there's no closed session. Any member comments, or I figure y'all want to leave, go home on your next meeting?
I have one quick comment. Thank you so much for jumping into the breach in a very difficult meeting.
No, thank you for your help. So with that, yes.
One thought, and run this by Eric just to see if this flies. Given the contentious nature of so many of these votes, doing a roll call vote puts it changes the dynamic when we're going in alphabetical order. And if the order was rearranged periodically or randomized, it would change the pressure on members and our voting. We may feel pressure on how our agencies are represented and how our constituents are represented that may not necessarily align with what's in the best interest of the Greater Bay. I think that randomizing it would change some of the pressures on individuals as we vote.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I'm not aware of any requirement that makes us vote in alphabetical order, so I think we can make a change along those lines.
Thank you, Eric. So with that,
I have my hand
Dean.
Up.
Yes.
Yeah. There was some reference where the changes to climate change have been removed. Is that something we need to put on a future agenda and figure out what's
the
going?
The item is on. Will be on April. We're not going over that item for this meeting. But yes, there will be opportunity to discuss in April.
A future agenda item.
Yes.
Okay. All right. April's meeting. Thank you.
Yes. So with that, the executive committee meeting is March 20th, and our next governing board meeting is April 17th at the Delray Yacht Club. So I guess we can adjourn at 12:26. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.